Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians 5:22, and after that we'll go to Matthew 22:37. So Galatians 5:22 for starters. And let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd be our teacher this morning, that you draw us closer to you. And Father, just produce in us more of your Son, Jesus, Lord. Make us more like him. We ask it in his name. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. The law of God is summed up by Jesus in Matthew 22. He was asked what the great commandment was, and in verse 37, he said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Everything God would say to us needs to come out in these two things, that we love God with all that we are and love our neighbor as ourselves. The issues I've been talking about over the last couple of months of moral attitudes, of that developing of Christian character, of God working his goodness into us in a practical way. I look back and we started down this path when we were in the book of Revelation studying Babylon. As I look around at the world today, the culture that we live in, it has become more and more sinful. I've watched since I've been a pastor as the moral line that we've been fighting keeps getting moved back. We keep becoming more and more tolerant of things. The tendency of the church today to soften the message. I don't mind people who use all different types of methods, and whether it's technology or whatever, to stay in touch with the generations that are coming up. But when they start to alter the message itself, when they start to tamper with the essentials of the Bible, it bothers me. I see a tendency today of a softening of language. One of the things I spoke to you about was the fact that much of what's being said in the pulpit is being watered down and diluted. We are no longer calling sin by its real name, but rather rephrasing things. We're no longer, it seems, preaching the gospel to lost sinners, but rather we're trying to reach the unchurched. And I'm not sure what the unchurched are, and I'm not sure I'm particularly concerned whether you're churched or not. I would like to see you saved from hell. That's the real issue, is Jesus saves us from a horrible fate that is awaiting us. One of the things I mentioned to you early on was a conversation I had with somebody who I consider a decision they were making was morally wrong. When weighed in the scales with things like faithfulness, loyalty, love, keeping your word, what he was doing I thought was wrong. And in sharing with him at one point, he told me, "Well, I prayed about it. This is what the Lord showed me to do." And that ended it. Our conversation and essentially our relationship kind of ended there. I haven't heard from him since. I marvel at how many times I've heard people say, "I'll pray about it," when it's something wrong. There's nothing to pray about. If something is wrong, it's wrong. You don't do it. You know, when you put it in the scale and come before God and you realize it tips and this is a wrong choice, what is there to pray about? You know, sometimes when people tell me they'll pray about it, I want to ask them, "But will you also think about it?" You know, I think it's a cop-out sometimes. And I want to say there's a great many issues in life that we need God's guidance above and beyond what's written in his word. There's a lot of personal decisions that we have to make, that it's between you and the Lord. There are some decisions that have very little moral weight to them, if any at all. If you had a choice suddenly where you had two job offers and they were both relatively equal, the same type of work, to choose A or B is an issue to seek God for guidance on. But if there's a choice between right and wrong, there's really nothing to pray about except the strength to do what's right, except to ask God to help you to walk in what you know has already been revealed. We're living in a time when we're in a desire-based morality. The morals of our culture are established by what people desire rather than by God. There's been an abandoning of the values of God throughout our society and culture. God is no longer, the Ten Commandments no longer allowed in schools. Kids are given this relative view of life that everything is kind of up to you. It's all subjective, how you feel about it, as long as you don't hurt anybody else. But that's just the problem. Sin does hurt. It destroys. It's devastating. God's Word has set some things down very, very clearly as being wrong and sinful. There are other things that God's Word has told us are good and that we need to pursue. And as I talked about these moral values, one of the things I want to get across today is that reverence is that part of our life wherein we have been captivated by the beauty of the Lord and we love the Lord our God. Reverence is a respect for what God says, for God's opinion, for God's Word. Reverence means when we read the Bible, we read it with a view that this is the holy God who has created everything that has given us His Word, and we handle it with respect. We don't twist it to say what we want, but we go to it to find out what it says to us. We seek out God and love Him. If reverence is the root to moral behavior, then goodness is the fruit that it should produce in our life. We as Christians should be producing goodness, not just accepting moral zero, not just coming to a place of moral neutrality, but the pursuit of goodness and godliness in our lives. In the age that we live in, there is so much out there that when you start to talk about a call to godliness, a call to the church to come back and live a life before God in godliness and in righteousness and a call for holiness in the church, it's almost automatically labeled as legalism. And I want to warn you, these things can become external set of rules that is nothing more than a new form of legalism that takes you away from the real essence of what I'm trying to share with you. The real essence is that you love the Lord, that He's captured your heart, and that reverence for God would start to work in your character and develop into a moral attitude by which you weigh everything before God. Every decision in your life, all that you do, is brought before Him to say, God, what is your greatest pleasure here? And God, does your displeasure rest on this activity? Do I need to stop doing it? And then to just reverence God. There is no sanctity of anything in our society anymore. We'll argue about the sanctity of life, but the sanctity of everything is failing. The value of whatever it is that we touch as Christians can be done with a sanctity. Enjoyment, recreation, all of those things can be sanctified and be something that you take rightly from God and use rightly. But to use them inappropriately in a way that God doesn't want, to live for those pleasures, is a horrible sin. I think as people, we need to recognize that we as living beings exist, as C.S. Lewis put it in one point, we are kind of hybrids. We are half spirit, half animal. And we can degenerate to animals, or we can ascend and start to seek out the Lord and pursue godliness. I think the very fact that God's law has to tell us not to trip blind people tells us something about ourselves, doesn't it? What is it in people that God would even have to say something like that? Don't put things in front of blind people. I mean, what kind of cruelty is that? You see, if we look at the animal kingdom, they'll kill the weak. They will destroy something in the pack that is vulnerable or weak. But as humans, we need to go the opposite. We need to pursue God and holiness and goodness. And when we see the weak, we need to have love. I believe that as we look around today, that the church almost entirely has lost its moral authority to speak to our culture and our society. We are hypocrites. We will stand and preach one thing, but in the pulpits, there's every manner of sin that you can think of and every type of failure going on. It has become so publicized with this age of Christian superstars. These guys become very big and famous, and when they fall, the bad news becomes equally as famous. But I still believe that a man or a woman who lives what they teach, lives what they believe, has that consistency to where their life demonstrates a reverence for God. And reverence for God's going to come out with a respect for your fellow man, for the person in front of you. It's going to come out in a genuine love for them. That will be shown in faithfulness. Faithfulness, which is that adding and abiding quality. I was talking with somebody between services, and you know, all the things I'm talking about need to be both a noun and a verb. Reverence for God needs to be a set state, a condition which describes you, but it also needs to be a verb that describes what you do. Faithfulness is the same. Moral awakenedness or moral awareness of our responsibilities to not neglect what we know God would have us do. And then last week I talked about veracity and honesty, that connectedness with reality and truthfulness and integrity that would set us off from the world around us. That when people look at you, they know they can count on you to be faithful, to be loyal, to be honest, to have integrity and uprightness. And you see, if we live it in front of them, if we demonstrate goodness in our lives on a regular basis, they're still going to listen and know that Jesus is real because they're going to see him demonstrated in our lives. And you see, that's going to come from loving him and becoming like him, not from keeping rules. Well, we know what's morally wrong with everybody. No, wait. This is what I'm more concerned with. Are we going to produce that moral rightness, goodness, and righteousness in our lives? Are we going to go somewhere with this besides looking at what's wrong and start to live a life that sanctifies and recognizes, that has that fidelity in those things? I think an act of kindness, an act of genuine compassion, when a person is genuinely other-minded and really cares about the person that they're talking to and ministering to. I think sometimes that Christians are more interested in winning arguments, proving they're right, defending some view, and we forget that it's people that we're talking to that need to be loved and appreciated and valued. And I am convinced that if we will be a living demonstration of the love of God, that if we can get out of what's in it for me, what is in our own self-interest. Debbie and I were talking this week about genuine acts of sacrifice. What are they? Because as I was thinking about it, I realized we live in an age when people would look at my taking care of Debbie as an act of sacrifice. I think that should be considered normal, that a spouse would take care of their spouse. And yet it's viewed as unusual in our day and age. When people become frail and become ill, you know, we tend to put them away. We're just not where we should be. But a real act of sacrifice, I believe, is what goes beyond my self-interest and my wife and I. A real act of sacrifice is when you give of yourself outside of that, is when you see a need and respond to it, when you're willing to sacrifice for others. I think a real act that demonstrates the love of Christ and goodness is a real genuine act of forgiveness, is when we really reconcile with each other. Love And being involved with people is really a rather messy business. People hurt you. People betray you. People do things. And if we are not willing to hurt and love and forgive, we just become more and more isolates. We cut ourselves off from people. Now, I want to say, I know it's easier for me to forgive an act of enemy. I can look at them and go, they still want to hurt me. And I can go and look at Christ and go, you know, Jesus, they wanted to hurt you. I can back up to the cross and I can love them and pray for them. The problem really gets more complicated when they come and repent and want to be friends again, doesn't it? Then all of a sudden you have to reconcile. You have to work out issues. You actually have to communicate with the person. It's almost easier when they remain your enemy. God bless you. I forgive you. I'm not thinking about you anymore. I have no animosity for you. I'm not going to harbor anything. I'll pray for you, for God to somehow make you see things my way or whatever the problem is. All of a sudden, when a person actually comes with a genuine act of contrition and says, I'm really sorry, now you're being asked to trust them again. And that's scary. That's a fearful thing, to put your heart back into the hands of somebody who's betrayed you and hurt you. But it's the thing that will demonstrate Christ, perhaps more than anything else, to the world around us, is when we love one another, when we love and have a care and concern for other people, compassion, generosity, goodness that goes beyond our own interest and takes an interest in the growth of the one you love. You see, I think real goodness and real love that comes into our heart and real concern for another person means we will meddle if we have to, if we see them hurting themselves. We will get involved in their lives. We won't stand by passively if they're engaged in an activity that we know is to their own harm. We will be more concerned with their goodness than with acts of mere human kindness that just kind of puts things off. We'll be involved with each other. When goodness fails, it fails in different ways. One of them is indifference. We're living in an age when we can just become indifferent to what's around us. We can be aware that somebody's hurting and just not care that much, can't we? And indifference is different than cold-hearted. Cold-hearted is you've isolated yourself, but indifference means you just look the other way. You just don't care that much about where people are at. Cold-hearted is actually more of an act of blocking people out. There's times I would almost rather somebody was cold to me than indifferent to me. I would rather somebody spoke against me than just dealt with me with indifference. Indifference is a horrible, disrespectful thing. You see, that whole thing of dishonesty and a lack of veracity is a lack of respect for God and His creation. You know, any person that's in front of you, that person is inerred with certain qualities, and to be respected for what God has invested in them and to lie to them, to be indifferent to them, is like a slap in the face of God. To have a cold-hearted or even that wicked selfishness that we can so often see, I think our culture is dangerously close to most of the people taking pleasure in the suffering of others, not just being cold or indifferent, but actually taking pleasure. I like a good movie where the good guy is really good and they make the bad guy really bad and then the good guy kills the bad guy, you know, after beating him up really bad or something. You know, I like that kind of stuff. But I have to say, you know, nowadays it's hard to tell the good guys from the bad in the movies. You know, they're all equally wretched and evil. I grew up on Superman. He was really a good guy. He was wholesome through and through, and the bad guys were really bad. Now, you get to the point, I think our culture enjoys watching violence. There's that sense of turning on the news and taking pleasure in suffering. It's an evil form that is the opposite of goodness. Goodness will not stand by when another human is suffering and do nothing. Its heart will be moved with love and compassion. We're living in dangerous times. The Bible asks us, it says in 2 Peter, seeing that these things will be dissolved, seeing this world is about to be destroyed, what manner of people ought you to be? I've been walking us down this road on moral values, in part to help you to understand, there are some things that we need to carefully weigh in the scales of what is important and what isn't. There are some decisions that we shouldn't just make haphazardly. We need to really invest ourselves and know before we make certain decisions. And one of those things is we need to ask ourselves, what kind of person am I? And what kind of person should I be? And seeing that the world's about to be judged. I saw on the news and checked it out this morning, the London Times had a thing in there that Israel is planning a preemptive nuclear strike against Iran. This is a little scary when it comes out in the news. They are looking at low-yield nuclear weapons to take out the nuclear sites in Iran. And this news report said their pilots were up already flying and practicing what they're going to be doing. Of course, Israel on the news direct, oh, no, we're not doing that. Are they or aren't they? How close are we? Seeing that in a moment we could be standing before God, our lives, we need to produce godliness, goodness coming out in love to those around us. People have to weigh a lot of different things. There's a lot of decisions that we have to make. And it's too easy for us to get critical of other people and to go poking into their lives. I look at a lot of things that people have to adapt to in their daily lives. One of the things, if you were over at my house, you would notice that FedEx and UPS and all those people stop quite often and drop packages off. Another thing you might notice is the frequent return of those packages at some expense. Well, what a waste of money. Well, is it? Debbie can't go into stores and try clothes on. And she sits on her computer and orders things. We get them out of the box, look at them, ship them back. And, you know, at first I thought, man, this is really frivolous. But then I started thinking it through and going, you know what? I don't have to stand in the mall for hours while she's in the dressing room anymore. You know, all I have to do is give these packages back and ship them back. You know, somebody could look and go, wow, you guys, don't you know how much more expensive it is? That's a waste of money. Or you can look at somebody and go, don't you know about this? And we can get so busy majoring in minors and picking on little nitpicky things in each other. And it reminds me of the Pharisees who are all obsessed with, you know, they tithed mint. Every little thing they had, they gave 10% of it. And they were obsessed with that. But they neglected the weightier things. And also in our day and age, I think that there is a real tendency to aim at moral neutrality or moral zero. I had a long conversation a couple weeks ago with somebody struggling with alcohol, and it's very hard for me sometimes because I know that there are programs out there that help people. But what I see those programs doing is help them up to zero, and that's not good enough. Sobriety for some people is a huge goal. For most people, sobriety is just how they wake up in the morning. It's nothing. It's moral zero. No accomplishment. I'm one of those people that has a severe problem with drugs and alcohol. I can't go in that area at all. I came out of that background. It's my mother and my pre-Christian days. And you know, I know for a fact, I cannot take one drink. If I take one drink, I immediately am doing an act of irreverence towards God because I know for me that's a sin. I know for me that to take that one drink is to be unfaithful to God, unfaithful to my wife, unfaithful to the people I love. I know it's a lack of responsibility, a lack of honesty. I look at that one drink and go, everything I care about is lost in that one little decision. And I decide I don't want to stay too close to it. I don't want to sit here and spend the rest of my life not drinking. I want to do something else with my life. I want to add to sobriety an act of goodness. I want to start to move away from moral neutrality and moral zero into the positive ground of developing a character that reflects Jesus Christ. God loves you. We say we love God, but we have a reluctance to really come before God. We look at certain things about God and they make us uncomfortable. I've noticed that when you get on the subject of the attributes of God, things get quiet. The holiness of God, Oh, to study that. Have you ever just sat down and focused on that attribute of God? You know, I know that a lot of Christians know about the love of God and that he's gentle and kind and merciful. But have we looked at his holiness, his wrath, his righteousness? That's all him. And to know all of him and to pursue him with our whole hearts. And that includes his love, his goodness, his kindness. It all comes in one. C.S. Lewis said that he believes people have a reluctance to really come before God. Well, we'll pray. We'll shoot up little prayers, but to consciously, the creator of the universe, bring ourselves into his presence and meditate on him. I don't know about you, but I recoil from that. My natural inclinations are to pull back. I will meditate on the fact that God is immutable, that he never changes, that God is holy, that God is solitary. And after I think about those things a while, I run back to Jesus loves me, this I know. I just want to wrap myself up in the comfortable parts of God. But if you love God, you love all of them. That love for him, how's it going to come out? What did Jesus say? It will come out in this, that you'll love your neighbor as yourself. You won't stand by while somebody else needs something. You'll value people. You'll love them. You'll want to disciple them and draw them closer to Christ. You'll do all that you can to bring them away from the fire and to the love of God, that they would recognize that there are those absolutes. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to turn there, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, agape, or charity, that all-giving love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So you see, we add one thing to another. Add to your faith. Add. And if you have these things, you will be fruitful. If you don't, you're blind and you forgot where you came from. Your old sins will keep creeping up on you and taking you over again and again. Move forward. Add goodness. Put those moral positive values in action in your life. And the one thing that it all comes down to is love. Really love one another. Care for one another. Have compassion. Be tender-hearted. Not indifferent. Not cold. Not taking pleasure in judgment falling on another. But with a genuine, deep love. I think the world can still recognize when you're for real and when you're not. When what's coming out of you is a real love. When you don't look at people as just something to fill a pew, something to join your club, but you really value them as a human. You really love them and care for them. That will purchase the right to tell people about Jesus Christ. Anything short of that love, and we lose all credibility. Anything that's phony, anything that's hypocritical, the world sees right through it. And we need to demonstrate to them that God loves them, desires to save them. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that we would have a life of adding these things one upon another, that we would grow and become more like you. And Lord, that we would have that genuine act of love from a pure heart to the world around us, Lord, that if we minister to the poor, we minister to them because we love them, not because we're earning points in our own mind, but because our hearts are moved. And Father, if we're aware of anyone who has need, God, don't let us be indifferent. Don't let us just look the other way and become hard or callous. But rather, God, let your Spirit stir up our hearts to genuine compassion, genuine love, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you and have a great week.